Natalie Queiroz, what a joy to have you on the Choose to Thrive interview series. I'm very excited for you to share your story with our viewers. So if you want to do that first, Natalie, tell us a little bit about your story, please.
Yeah, my story, it was an ordinary Friday afternoon in March 2016, and I was walking in Sutton Coldfield Town Centre. It's a leafy suburb, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was 8 months pregnant, heading to the bank, and I was jumped from behind by a man in disguise. And then in a terrifying attack that lasted 9 minutes, I was stabbed 24 times with a 12-inch kitchen carving knife. So as you can imagine, my life literally was hanging by a thread. I was airlifted rapidly from the town centre, taken to a major trauma centre, straight into theatre. In the 5 hours in theatre, they discovered the knife had hit the outer part of my heart. It hit my right lung, my diaphragm, my liver, main artery in my wrist, and had gone through the uterus. Nobody expected me to survive. When I came out of my coma the next day, not only clearly to the fact that I was still here, but told the amazing news that my baby had survived as well, and which was incredible. The knife had missed it by 2 millimeters. But my joy went from being up here to being down there when the police approached my bedside and told me that the man in disguise that they'd arrested at the scene was being charged with my attempted murder and the attempted murder of my baby. It was my partner, Bobby, who had left home as normal that day, had been on the phone to me. He'd arranged to meet me in the town centre, and it turned out it was a premeditated murder attempt, and there had been no warning, there had been no violence. He was a man I'd known 25 years. My life went to complete and utter despair and hit some very, very dark times. But I made the choice as I fought and battled through. I had now my baby, I had two older children, and then you have this choice. You have a choice to sink or swim, and I had to swim. I was a mom of three. And I got back on my feet. I started writing notes, writing journals, started raising money for the air ambulance that airlifted me. My notes became a book that became published. It went across the world as well. It's in 5 different countries. It's across the UK. I then started becoming a motivational speaker. And then I've used my experience now to start a community interest company where I go and talk to young people about the reality of being a victim of a stabbing in the hope to try and prevent this horrific upsurge we're seeing in knife crime.
I have so many questions for you, Natalie, but I'm also conscious that we promise our viewers to keep these videos to around 10 minutes. But I think there's one question I will ask, because, and I know you've been asked it before in interviews, because I think it'll be in the minds of our viewers, and that is, did you ever learn what the motivation was for Bobby to stab you like that and you know, put not only an attempt to murder you, but also the life of his unborn child?
Yeah. The reason given in court, and the reason, I actually went and faced him in prison. So a year after the attack, I pushed, I was determined he was going to look me in the eye and talk to me. And the reason he gave me face-to-face, the reason he gave in court was all this, he came from a different cultural background, and he gave it that there was pressure on him from his family that didn't approve of me being a white Catholic, and that they didn't want that. That is completely utter poppycock. It drives me mad because a lot of people jump on that. Oh, it's a race, he's from a different religion, what did she expect? Nothing to do with that. This is a man who I found out basically lived a double life. He led this one life, he was lying to his family, his mum and sisters, as much as he lied to me. So they believed he was living one life as this good, devout son. He was then living with me and being that I can do what I want. He was lying to everybody, controlling the whole situation, pretending he was perfect, and that perfect model was starting to unravel. I was about to have a baby that his family knew nothing about. He pushed for the baby. And I believe that he realized he was going to be seen as this person who was a liar, and his control was suddenly slipping, and he decided to get rid of me and his own child in order to protect the person that he was, which is just disgraceful. That's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, it's inconceivable, but you mentioned when you were starting, you were telling us about your story that, my goodness, you've been on a massive journey since the birth of your baby, since you managed to survive such a horrific attack, and that you're thriving. And you mentioned, I love it that you mentioned this idea about choice, choosing to sink or swim in your words. And because of my own research of talking to these 50 people from around the world and writing about the 9 secrets to thriving, I've come to learn that thriving is a choice. It's not always an easy choice. And quite often we need support for it. But, you know, you've been there, you've done it. Could you share maybe two or three practical tips with our viewers that they could apply to choose to thrive in the face of everyday challenges?
Yeah. Do you know what the biggest thing that I've learned, and it's my sort of tip number one, as it were, is actually your own self-belief. And what I sort of say, a little practical exercise for everyone. Get a piece of paper and write down all your really tough times you've been through in life. We'll all have gone through them. And I mean significant tough times. It might be one, it might be two, it might be more, unfortunately. And write down what happened very briefly to yourself, just to recount it, and then look at how maybe you got over it, or the fact, just pat yourself on the back of, I got through that. Share that maybe with a close friend that you trust and say, do you know what? I went through this. But do you know what? I'm still here. And when you start looking at your own evidence, the fact that you're thriving all the time, you're not just surviving, you've gone on in the past, then it can make you give that belief that no matter what comes your way, you're going to get through it. So that's kind of like my tip number one. Self-belief.
Okay, fantastic. Develop self-belief. Absolutely. Tip number one.
Step number one. Step number two, you've actually touched upon it when you're saying about it's not doing it alone. Before my attack, I was really so fiercely independent that I would never probably ask for help. Now, the thing that I've done is actually get support of, say, 2-3 people around you. And what I did throughout my journey is that I ended up having one person who I knew, my girlfriend of mine, that I could phone day or night, and she was my emotional support. And I knew that she was always there. I then had a good friend of mine who I used to work with. And so when I was planning about the book or planning about the community interest company, I could bounce ideas off him because he was great for that. So my tips for everyone is, who is your committee? Class is your committee, your personal committee, and have 2, maybe 3 people that you know, like, this is my emotional support. And actually, when I want to go on and create these ideas and these goals, this is who I can bounce these ideas off. This is someone I trust. Get on the phone to them, arrange to get a coffee with these people, tell them that you really value them, and then start those conversations now. You know, just get that really together. My guys know that they're my go-to, and having a committee in life is important.
So I absolutely love that. That really mirrors something that I was told by one of the 50 Thrivers, Shannon Maroney. She didn't use the word committee, but I love the word committee. She used the word get a jigsaw of support to connect together. But I love the idea personally of a committee. So that's perfect. I'm sure it'll resonate with loads of people watching. So your third one, Natalie.
My third one is actually writing down your actions. So what is it? Think about, reflect about, what is it that you want to achieve in life? What do you value the most? So all of us live life every day, don't we? And we do things because we have to pay bills and we have to do this and we have to do that, or it's expected of us. Take that time. I was talking to a really good friend of mine recently. I said, who's had enough of just being on a rat run at the moment. I said to her, write down what's important to you. What is it that you really value? Is it helping others? Is there a particular group of people you'd like to help? When you've written down what your dreams are, start breaking that down. Again, this goes back to committee, share it with them and write those little goals. And every time, so for me, if I'm saying I want to write my book, okay, well, by next month, I want to write the skeleton of that book. The following month, I'm going to write down some chapters. So I'm setting myself achievable little goals. And then when I've done it, I can pat myself back and go, I've done that. Brilliant. Right. Next stage. And share that. Go back to committee. Share that. If you ever have a wobble, go back to your self-belief chart and go, okay, I can do this. But actually have those goals done. But think about, start with in mind, always in your life, what do you value? Because if you do something you value, as in what's integrally important to you, like me with the young people and the knife crime, you will naturally thrive because it's so important.
Yeah, so can I use another word? It's almost like the idea of purpose.
Yeah.
You know, that gives you meaning. That kind of work gives you a sense of meaning and purpose. It makes sense, perhaps, even of what happened to you. Mm-hmm. That's another way I've heard it described from the 50 Thrivers that I interviewed. So those are three great tips, Natalie, and they all sort of feed into one another as well, as you described. So that's wonderfully practical. Now, before we end the interview, I think the viewers will be wanting me to ask you what the name of your book is.
Yeah.
And where they can find out more about you.
Okay, so my book is called Still Standing. You can buy it on Amazon, WH Smith, Waterstones online, have a look. So yeah, Still Standing. Taken from, don't want to get sued here, from the Elton John song, I'm Still Standing, because it's a great chorus. If you want to learn more about me, I've got a website, www.qinspire, so Q, which is beginning my surname, the letter Q, and then inspire.co.uk. There's videos like my TEDx and things like that that I've done, and you can see some of the things I'm getting up to nowadays, or find me on social media, that's fine.
Brilliant. Natalie Queiroz, it has been a joy to have you on Choose to Thrive. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.